much about.
Okay, you're good, white boy. I'll give you that. But you better bring it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I can't, and I won't, and I just help here.
Kevin Costner's like, whoa, I'll protect you. She's like, I don't need it. And he's like, I will. I don't know. Are we falling in love? Not sure. And
Now, I understand if you've got other issues, like maybe you're not playing games, maybe you've had, I don't know, maybe you were abused in childhood, maybe you're... mother has cancer, you're going to chemo, maybe you're just a person who's extremely frightened or has an anxiety disorder, maybe you're on some medication for that, I don't know, there could be another issue that I'm not aware of.
And now,
DJing is not a profession, it's a hobby, unless you're Rick Dees or someone awesome.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody, brand new Kevin and Bean Show, it's Wednesday morning the 23rd. What was the guy's name that you were just playing?
That was Dimitri.
Dimitri.
Allie, you ever hear that tape?
I don't think I have.
So unbelievable.
He
let the romance begin.
That's him. He had gone on a first date, if I remember, and she... What was the deal, Kevin? She was just... He didn't think she enjoyed it, or she didn't want to see him again, or something like that, so he just called her voicemail and just unloaded on all the problems she had if she couldn't recognize how great he was.
Hmm. Even in this day and age, it was unbelievable to hear a guy sound like that. To sound like, look, maybe you have psychological problems.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to date me.
Mm.
Now, I understand that certain dudes think that way. He said it on our answering machine.
Yeah.
We need to play that again. That was
a lot of Dimitris nowadays, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, because he, remember, and we, let's do that. Let's find a place and let's do that. But because, Allie, you got to hear this. Although maybe you've heard versions of this your whole life. Maybe it's not as exciting for you as it is for us.
Let the romance begin.
Right. But he also, recall, Kevin was, I'm a catch.
Yes.
And I'm single. And he started listing all of the great things about him that he just couldn't understand why anybody wouldn't recognize.
Yeah. So. It was insane.
Well, at least he left a voicemail and didn't shoot up a school. So we have that going
for us. So we do have
us.
That. That is a positive.
That is... happy.
Do they come from the same place? That's what you're suggesting? I mean, that was certainly the case down in Texas last week.
Yeah, it's where most of it comes from. Mm-hmm. An entitlement that you're somehow entitled to a woman's affections just because you have them for her. It's a very weird place that we're at right now in the country.
Yeah, I think you're right. What is it they call the
toxic masculinity? Yeah, but here's the thing. When I bring it up, I'm a feminazi. And
okay.
I hate men. But if we were to have an actual conversation as a country about this, I think we could be raising different boys.
But what about...
Let the romance begin.
Oh, totally different.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Just a second.
Hey, a couple of weeks ago, maybe longer, I said... I know that there are certain kinds of stories that I am in love with and I cannot resist bringing to you.
Uh-oh.
And one of them involves things inside the human body. You know, I just have a weak spot for those stories, and I'm not trying to panic anybody, and I'm not trying to gross anybody out. But when I see a story like this, I'm so fascinated with it that I just have to do it. So is it too much?
Well, I mean, we don't know what it is yet.
Well,
I feel like with this setup, he knows.
But
it's
I'm guessing
too
it's too much, right? By the question,
you know the appeal that these stories
yes.
have for me. And Kevin, you may have actually, Allie, you as well, big hockey fans. You may have actually heard this because this involves a minor league hockey player. He plays for the Red Hawks, I think. Yes, the Red Hawks is the minor league team for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and his name is Carson Meyer. Name sound familiar at all?
No. Mm-hmm.
His last season with the Red Hawks was totally derailed because of illness. He had no appetite. He was losing weight. He was falling asleep during drills. And he went to every doctor in the world. And, Kevin, how many times have you said doctors almost never know what's wrong with you when you walk in the door?
It's one of three things. And if it's not that, it's one of a billion and they have no idea.
Right.
Exactly. Once they do the first couple of tests, like they said, well, maybe it's mono, and it wasn't mono. And then they said, well, maybe
we're out.
Yeah. So, and then he either you keep going for more tests, they never figure it out, or you just go home. So anyway, he couldn't figure out what was wrong, but clearly he felt weak and, like I said, losing weight, falling asleep, couldn't play. And then I'm going to pick up his own words for the thrilling conclusion of what was wrong with him. Any guesses, by the way? You probably see it coming.
Love the tapeworms. You love that.
I do love it.
But they don't make you fall asleep, I don't think.
So the tapeworm stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
So here's what Carson says. I was going to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Just like normal.
Nope.
And it came out.
No.
It was a 25-inch tapeworm, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
Now, when I hear tapeworm stories, in my mind, I picture, like a worm, like a little insect that's a couple of inches, 3 inches, 4 inches, maybe.
Maybe smaller.
Worm. Yeah, a 25-inch tapeworm, which makes me wonder, by the way, at any point with his illness, did they not x-ray him? I mean, it seems like that tapeworm would have shown up in an x-ray, right, or no?
I don't know.
But that tapeworm was eating good, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that tapeworm explains where all the weight went.
Yeah.
It was a 25-inch tapeworm, the head, the neck, and all the segments, about 50 of them. If that's
Holy
not too descriptive
crap.
For you to imagine. It was orange, by the way.
I hate this, too.
Next sentence surprised me, because this is not what I would have thought to do. He FaceTimed his mom.
What?
And was like,
"Look at this, mom."
Yes.
Seen it.
FaceTimed his mom and said, "What the hell is this thing? I was freaking out. I was absolutely freaking out." So does that mean that within moments after pooping out a tapeworm, he got on his phone, FaceTimed his mom, and then turned that phone toward the toilet so he could terrify his mother with it?
I mean, if he was asking her what it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Had to be. Hopefully she's a nurse.
What could it be?
Yeah, it doesn't say that. I mean, that would make a difference.
She's a nurse.
Let's assume she's
a
nurse, because that
really
makes.
Really good nurse.
That makes
the
story stomachable.
Would you, in a million years, ever turn to your mom?
No!
Never, right?
And his mom is a nurse.
My mom is a nurse.
So's mine.
I wouldn't tell a soul.
No. I'd flush that thing and never speak of it again. Or I'd be like, "Do you have more work to do? Get back in there."
Well, his mom, Holly, said she'd never been so horrified or so relieved. She said, "I was trying to be calm. He showed me everything. And I remember saying, you have to get that to the trainer and figure out what it is so they can get you fixed."
To the trainer.
I know, right? Well, I mean, I guess she just figured he's got medical support or something like this. And I did say at that moment, this is why everything's been the way it's been, Carson. This was like, it's scary, but it was a relief, you know, because he knew at that moment, that explains everything.
Yeah.
You said 25 inches instead of 2.5.
I did. That's over 2 feet, kids.
Yeah.
That is over 2 feet. That's a big tapeworm.
Why do you love tapeworms so much?
I don't know.
Let's discuss that. Every one of these stories that comes across, Bean would have gone on an hour ago if he could have to talk about this.
I would. I don't know what it is. I guess it just seems so unlikely to me that there would be a thing, a living creature, just like when we talk about spiders that burrow into your brain and stuff. I mean, there's something living inside your body that's not yours.
Right.
That's just so weird to me. You know what I mean?
Same.
But
if I come across a story where there's a tapeworm, I'm not reading it.
Yeah, you don't even click on it,
no,
right?
Because you see
the headline. Yeah. The specific parasite, in case you're wondering, I will not try to pronounce, but it comes from eating undercooked fish. And he says that, as you can imagine, that he has lost his appetite for fish for the most part, but cooks all of his food much more thoroughly than previously. His Red Hawks teammates have named his tapeworm Teddy. So when they talk about it, he is Teddy the Tapeworm.
That's nice.
That's a lovely name.
Yeah. So congratulations to Carson Meyer. I hope you're feeling much better and get back on the ice soon.
Let the romance begin.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Our Father, who art in heaven. Seriously? What the actual f***?
Weirdest celebrity selfies that you took. I found myself in a picture with Kenny G. And in a million years, I would have never thought that I would take a picture with Kenny G.
Luck out.
Was that lucky?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't feel like it, but all right.
We can get a picture with Kenny G.
Bean makes his guess.
He sure does.
Yes, he does.
We got this one tweeted to us a lot. The parents that are suing the kid to move out.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Man.
Unbelievable. They're going to court. And the judge ordered him out, and he's appealing. It's unbelievable.
It's nuts.
Well, but it's over. It's over now, Kevin.
I mean, I knew that they had.
Yeah, they went to court yesterday. So
that
we'll,
the judge ruled that he had to be kicked out. But
right.
He said he was going to appeal.
Yes.
Did he not look exactly like you thought he'd look?
No. Yes, very much so.
Were you surprised, as I was, Allie, and I know we'll talk about it in a little bit, that he has a son?
Yes.
So that guy at 30, living with his mom and dad and being a complete pain in the ass, somehow had sex once.
Yes, correct.
Shocking.
Also on the program today, there is a huge amount of sperm in space.
I don't... What?
You heard me.
But just floating around?
Do you want me to repeat it?
In the atmosphere? Explain gravity to me.
Oh, Kevin can explain gravity to you.
I got that for you. We've also got your tickets for Pixar Fest at Disneyland.
Nice.
And we've got your tickets for 9-Inch Nails at the Hollywood Palladium.
The entire show?
How about that?
I see what you did there, Allie. I see what you did there.
I had to point for Kevin. And not the word.
Yeah. I got it. That's amazing, by the way. 9-Inch Nails at the Palladium. I love it.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What is happening?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Not sure if you were aware, but the opener for Taylor Swift had to cancel.
If you're asking if I was aware, yes, I was there. So I certainly knew that, yes.
All right.
You were there when?
Last night.
It was last night.
Yeah. Camila Cabello wound up in the hospital after her performance at the Billboard Music Awards on Sunday.
Tapeworm?
She was, well, dehydrated and a low-grade fever. We don't know if it was
Sounds like a tapeworm to me.
Sounds a little bit like it. So she had to cancel her opening set at CenturyLink Field last night in Seattle. How was the show, Bean?
Darlene had a problem. She was fat. Darlene had gone online and ordered tapeworm larva from Venezuela.
Remember when we did A Thousand Ways to Die with the tapeworm lady?
Yeah, that was amazing.
She went
online and ordered it.
Yeah, she did. I'm sure a lot of people have thought it sounds perfect. Yeah. Keep it in there for 2-3 weeks or whatever you need.
Look, when I was sick, I did get a text from Allie saying, make sure that you save, you know, your saliva or something so that I can get sick as well because I'd like to lose 10 pounds.
I did ask him to swab his mouth with a cotton ball or a Q-tip and put it in a Petri dish.
Yeah.
His response was, you don't want what I got. I'm like, you're not the boss of me.
Kevin walked in after his days away and had lost 9 pounds, if you'll recall.
Yeah. Right.
So that's exactly what Allie was.
Again, luck out.
She swallowed it, and soon enough, her little diet friend had set up shop in her small intestine and began feeding on anything Darlene ate. It was a good deal. The fatter the tapeworm grew, the skinnier Darlene became.
I'm already down 4 dress sizes.
Darlene finally fit into a size 4 dress. Too bad she wore it at her funeral.
Yeah!
Boom!
No! Darlene!
That's the best story ever. Her little diet friend is such a better name than tapeworm. Her little diet friend.
Wow, I didn't see that coming. Oh, Darlene.
To answer your
question. Too bad she wore it at her funeral.
Oh, my God.
I love that. To answer your question, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
I have a complicated relationship with Taylor Swift and her live show.
Do you?
Okay.
I do. I won't bore anybody with this, but since you asked, I'll give a short answer. I love Taylor. She's one of my favorite singer-songwriters, and that's when I became a huge fan of her music, when she started out and she was a singer-songwriter and made records that sounded like singer-songwriter records do. And then the further she went into pop, and now this, you know, the stadium shows are a whole nother thing. We've all seen them, and it's fireworks, and it's choreography, and it's dancing, and it's props, and it's, you know, it's just a whole, everything is a Disney movie now.
It takes away from what you loved about her, the singer-songwriter aspect.
Yeah, I love her just playing a guitar, playing a banjo, playing the piano, and she does some of that in the show, but it's just so, I don't know, it's like a Broadway show now. You know right. what I mean? Rather than an actual connection. And you just get the impression that everything that is said in between songs is just part of the script for that. You know, that's the tour. That's what she's... Every city is her favorite city ever. You know sure. what I mean? So I enjoyed it because I like a lot of her songs, but I do miss the days of my old Taylor when I saw her, you know, two or three tours ago.
And sure. I just want to clarify, that's the short answer?
Oh, I could go on for a long time about Taylor.
Open up a blog.
And but for me to be in a place with 56,000 people was rare and
not
unusual.
Ideal.
Yeah, I had some troubles, but with that. But that's how much I love Taylor. As I put myself through, and I'm glad I went, and I had a good time. I took Donna as well, and she had a great time. So it was a fun night out for us kids, and no tapeworms.
That's the takeaway.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
tapeworms were had at the Taylor Swift show. All right. Well, real quickly, apparently Taylor Swift's cats are in Deadpool 2.
They are.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. She showed off a picture of her, quote, two fur babies, Olivia Benson and Meredith Grey. They're on
She's demanding that I hate her. She's forcing my hand.
You have to hate me too and all the other pet owners that refer to our pets as our fur babies. Guy comes with the territory.
Apparently, Wade in the movie was wearing a shirt with the kitty cat's faces on it. And Taylor said, quote, "So proud of my fuzzy daughters."
Oh, wow. Man.
Well, if you think I don't have an Olivia and Meredith t-shirt of my own, you don't know me.
Man.
Alrighty. Some birthdays for you.
I'm not sure I can go on.
Actor and host of The Price is Right, Drew Carey. Singer Jewel, actress Melissa McBride, Carol on The Walking Dead. Not to be confused with the Channel 7 reporter, Melissa McBride.
Sure.
And H. John Benjamin. You might know him as the voice of Archer. And that's what's happening.
About 15, maybe 20 minutes away from your chance to call in and win tickets to see Nine Inch Nails, one of the great live bands in the world today at the Hollywood Palladium. The shows aren't until December, by the way. That's going to be a long wait after you get these tickets, isn't it? Oh, come on. But anyway, that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and a few tickets are going on sale for that show. Do you know, remember they did the thing over the weekend where you had to line up for it?
Yes.
Did not sell out the show.
Really?
Does that surprise you?
I saw that line that K-Rock posted.
It doesn't, because I think a lot of people would be put off by having to stand in line that long anymore.
People are just not going to get up and drive 40 miles in some cases or whatever to not know if you're going to get tickets.
It's a lot. You know, maybe you go stand in line, right, beat, and then they're gone before you even get up there.
Exactly.
That line was so long.
Well, right, but it can hold a lot of people.
Right. Well, a few tickets remain, and we'll go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., but you won't have to worry about any of that because you're going to win yours in minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, listen, I understand that most people don't know who Brandi Chastain is, but she's a women's soccer player. She won the Olympics twice. She won the World Cup on a penalty kick at the end and took off her jersey, and she had her sports bra on. Everybody went crazy as if they didn't know sports bras existed.
Yeah, if you lead with that, I think that's one of the most iconic moments in sports.
Absolutely. Yeah, great photograph, great moment. Did as much for women's soccer in this country as anything that has ever happened. And by the way, as we've mentioned on the show many times, the U.S. women's soccer team is the best in the world.
Yeah.
And has been for a long, long time. And it's partly because of players like Brandi, who is retired now and received a real honor yesterday.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she was.
In theory.
She was inducted into the Bay Area Hall of Fame, along with, there was a basketball player, a baseball player, a whole bunch of different athletes, but they all got their likeness on their plaque. So that was where it was different for Brandi.
Here's where it becomes a story, and I don't know if you followed this one as well. Cristiano Ronaldo had that statue made of him, and everybody was like, that doesn't look anything like him.
Yeah, it was so janky.
That one looks great compared to Brandi Chastain's. We just put it up on the Twitter and Instagram and everywhere. Mine is at the Kevin Ryder, and you look at it, and it's a 65-year-old fat man.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it is. It's not even close. I can't even accept that that was supposed to be her.
Yeah. It's real bad.
I agree. The first story I saw on it, the headline was, and I took it seriously, whose face is on Brandi Chastain's plaque? Because I'm with you, Kevin, and the writer, that this isn't a poor representation of what she looks
right,
like.
Right, it's not a mistake.
This is, they put the wrong picture on the plaque, like it was meant for somebody else.
But then they said, you know what? Let's just go with it.
Go with it.
Yeah.
And the pictures of her that were everywhere yesterday of her just smiling appreciatively and just being honored, I just thought, how is she pulling that off? Like, how is she not freaking out right now?
She
how
was
is
she not so sweet
a
about it.
Trump?
Yeah, how is she not? How, like, don't they go to all different artists and say, hey, let's pick one and
right.
everybody give us a selection of what you can do?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't they do any of that?
I would imagine they would have to, and once they commission an artist, I can't imagine that they didn't, that nobody saw it before that morning. You know what I mean? Because it was installed.
Maybe all of this artist's fat white guys are really good, so
okay.
they're like, he's going to
he
nail this.
He does good work
this.
On the fat
he
white guy.
He does the old fat white guys really well. Just not knowing that Brandi Chastain would also be one. I saw her interviewed on the news, and she couldn't have been more gracious.
That's her, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
And
that's
she
her.
Said, listen, I've heard everything from Mickey Rooney to Gary Busey, so now I know who will play me in a Lifetime movie. And I laughed so hard at that. Like, how great to turn it around like that.
Well, we're going to hear from Brandi in a second, because she was on with her friend Jimmy Kimmel last night, too. But here's the thing I'd love to know is, when did the Bay Area Hall of Fame take receipt of the plaque?
Agreed.
Because if it was anything beyond an hour before the ceremony, they should have canceled the ceremony.
I don't even care. Even at that point, even if it's 5 minutes before, you go, so, this
we
is the wrong plaque.
Yeah.
Got the wrong plaque.
Look, they're still working on it, but congratulations. And but let's go on without
something.
It.
Well, in case you're wondering how she was able to be so cool and so calm and just with a big old smile on her face, she did not see the plaque when she walked up to have her photograph taken with it. This is how she explained it on Mr. Kimmel's show last night.
They had all the plaques up on a podium, and the athletes were in the room with media and family and friends. And you know, we were asked to stand next to them and take photos. And to be honest with you, I didn't really look at it as I came up. I was looking at all the other ones, and I stood next to it, happily taking pictures. And I looked down, and I thought, something struck me as odd. Not a big deal, but I didn't want to make a scene. And one of the gentlemen I had been working with came over, and I said, hey, can you look at the nose? Is that I don't have a bridge on the nose on my plaque.
Or
look at all the other ones.
Or like, the hair or that ear. I don't even imagine you wearing that collar, to be honest. So,
you know, Jimmy makes a good point. There is nothing about that
that
looks like anything to do with Brandi Chastain. So Jimmy asked, you know, with, like Ali mentioned, the people are throwing all sorts of celebrities. I'm a Babe Ruth guy, to me, by the way.
That's what it looks like.
Babe Ruth, yeah.
It does.
So Jimmy asked Brandi that same question.
Well, who do you think it looks like? Is there anyone that pops to mind when you see it?
Well, too many, unfortunately. Not my name, but Mickey Rooney, he was so sweet.
Mickey Rooney. Now, is Mickey Rooney good at soccer at all? Did Mickey Rooney win any World Cups or anything like that?
I'm pretty sure he didn't. And the final clip is the question that we were asking yesterday when we saw this story is, what now? They don't leave it like that. They don't just say,
They have to redo it.
They have to redo it. So Jimmy asked if that was the plan.
I've been in discussions with them, and they're gracious. They you know, they obviously didn't want this to happen. They didn't want to have any controversy.
Now, Kevin, you were saying off the air, this is the best thing that ever could have happened to Brandi Chastain.
Oh, yeah, no question, because if Brandi Chastain gets this award, none of us really hear about it unless you're following U.S. women's soccer, which I do because I have daughters. So I know her well, and I would have seen this story. But because it looks like Mickey Rooney or Babe Ruth and nothing like her, it became this international story. Now everybody knows about it. It's actually working in her favor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And everybody feels sort of bad for her because she was in that situation.
And she comes off, as we've said, so delightful too, with the way she handles it. All right. So she says, yeah, we're talking about it.
And for me, you know, the most important thing is not so much the plaque, is the great work that they do. But they did say that they would like to give it another chance.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it will be great.
Will you get approval over it before they release the next one?
They did say that would be possible.
All right, here's my last question from Jimmy and my favorite question that he asked, because this would be so great if it happens.
And Brandi, what are they going to do with the old one? Will you get to keep that?
Oh, good question.
Yeah. You should have that.
That would be awesome.
That's a real memento, you know?
I want to hang that in my garage. Yeah.
That would be awesome. Congratulations, Brandi Chastain, one of the greats of all time. The delight that I had in the tapeworm story earlier today is the delight that Kevin has over this story. This is right in his area.
And then, in a few minutes, tickets to Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
Here's the headline. There's a lot of sperm on the International Space Station right now.
Yay! Oh, kids. Yeah. It's not for you.
No.
Now, imagine astronauts. Imagine, like, what's the best you could do? Walk on the moon so far?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe circle the moon? Where does taking sperm into space, where does that... Is that the scientist, the NASA guy you don't like? The astronaut that is like low on the totem pole?
Well, I think for decades we've been conducting experiments in space. And I think this is a nod, I'm guessing, I don't know anything about science. My guess is they're trying to figure out if humans can mate in space and it'll work. Everything will work based on how we know biology here on Earth. What's it going to be like up there?
They're calling it the Micro 11 mission. Made its way to space aboard SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket resupply capsule, and it amounts to a bunch of containers of frozen human and bull sperm.
Hmm. Are we trying to make a human and a bull mate?
It doesn't say that.
That sounds freaky.
I don't think so.
But if it goes wrong, they're in space, so they can just jettison it.
That's smart.
We'll all be fine.
That's a safe way to do it.
They're going to study it to see how weightlessness affects its ability to move and prepare to fuse with an egg. So, yes, can we reproduce in zero gravity? This is microgravity in this particular case.
Astronauts have been asked for decades if anyone has ever had sex in space. There have been, lots of people in space for a long time on those capsules all by themselves. And no one has admitted to it yet. What do you guys think?
Of course.
Of course.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean... Who's going to know?
Who's going to know?
It does say in the article, Bean, and I was very surprised at the article. This is a news article. I'm very surprised that it said this, but it's perhaps worth noting that the current ISS crew of six men may have alternative methods for requiring a whole bunch of sperm that would have been cheaper than hitching a ride on a multi-million dollar space launch.
So make their own.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Trevor Noah covered this story on The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
And like he does, he's a genius.
Blasting off just got a whole new meaning.
Listen to this. NASA scientists are researching the behavior of sperm in space. They sent samples aboard the Falcon 9 rocket last week. Scientists want to know whether humans would be able to reproduce in microgravity.
Wow, NASA is experimenting with space sperm. That's one small step for man, one giant of mankind.
I mean, come on.
Right?
Son, what are you doing up there?
Experiment. Research. On
research. Research.
Yeah. I think we finally got to the bottom of what those ink blotches were in Arrival.
Oh.
Yeah, those aliens were literally in peace. That's all they were doing. They were communicating with us. And now NASA says that this is the first sperm in space, right? And I bet every dude astronaut is like, yeah. Yeah, first. Yeah, come on, man. Men have been in space for almost 60 years now. There's no ways in hell this is the first space sperm. You put a dude in a hotel room, within 5 minutes, he's twice. You know these guys were in the space station as soon as they got there. They're just like, oh. Honestly, I think NASA needs to slow its roll. Because I don't know if you realize this. Just consider how all of this looks if you're an alien. First, humans send up telescopes to creepily watch them from afar, right? And then we sent up mixtapes. And then we sent up nudes. And now we're sending sperm. Like, at this point, it just feels like we're sexually harassing aliens. That's what it feels like. I wouldn't be surprised if our first contact was the aliens coming down and just saying, like, hey, take a hint. We're not interested. Hashtag me too. Hashtag Glorbzard.
I love Trevor.
I do too.
Thank you. How about a pair of tickets to see Nine Inch Nails at the Hollywood Palladium, you guys? We are looking for Nine Inch Nails fans. You know you love their music. The shows aren't till December, but you can win them right now if you call us and play a game. 1-800-520-1067. That's next on K-Rock.
Now this. So Nine Inch Nails is playing at the Hollywood Palladium in December, and we have a pair of tickets for you right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's too good to be true.
Right?
You can't just wake up, turn on the radio, and boom, call in and win Nine Inch Nails tickets.
Well, I mean, what we're saying is just the opposite. They can call in and boom, win Nine Inch Nails tickets.
All right. I know we have a bunch of Nine Inch Nails fans on the line. Let's talk about what the game's going to be.
All right. You want the long intro or the short one?
I think we got time. Let's hear the whole thing.
Just a second.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to be playing the first second of a Nine Inch Nails song. All songs you know and love, you've heard over the years here on K-Rock. All you have to do is identify it by its title. And if you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone on the phone will win tickets.
I haven't heard the clips yet, but it does occur to me that Nine Inch Nails, this could be a difficult contest for them for just the first second.
You think they might sound very similar?
It's possible, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's find out. Let's meet our first contestant, shall
we? All right. It's Joy in Orange. Hi, Joy.
Hi.
All right. You understand? We're going to play just a second.
Okay.
We'll do it for you twice, and then you have to give us a guess. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. That was once. Here's the second time.
Head like a hole.
It is.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Woo!
Look at that.
Can I tell you that?
Just a second!
Like everyone else in the world, congratulations, Joy. Please hang on. Like everyone else in the world, I love that song. In a million years, did not know that was the first second of that song.
Let's go to Robert in El Segundo. Hi.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. You ready?
Yes.
Here's your song. One more time.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Head Like a Hole.
That's the only song you knew it wasn't.
I mean, that was the last. Okay. That was March of the Pigs. Thank you for calling.
All right. We're 1-1.
Oh, please. Okay.
Hey, here's a hint.
The computer just went dark, so I just had to. Yes, Bean.
Don't say head like a hole.
Right, because
everyone else already used that one.
We're not going to use it again. We're giving you that hint.
Okay.
All right, Martin in Montrose. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go. One more time.
It's going to hurt.
I'm sorry, that's the hand that feeds. I love that song so much.
I do too. You warned us this might be
very difficult with Nine Inch Nails. All right, let's go to Courtney in Torrance. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, are you ready for your just a second?
Yeah, this is scary, but let's go.
All right, here we go.
Oh.
You even get a word of that.
I'm sorry, what?
Is that Down in It?
No!
That's hurt.
That's hurt. All right, so ooh, far it's just Joy, right?
This is
right?
Not easy. All right, let's go to Will in Los Angeles. Hi, Will.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, good luck.
Right, can't say all those words.
He wow. said the S word and the F word.
Yeah. I'm sorry we're not going to have be able to continue with you. That was only we were looking for there, but thank you for calling.
You can recognize it from that, but boy, is it difficult with a second. All right.
All right, couple more.
Let's go to Art in La Puente. Hi, Art.
Hey, good morning.
Turns out this is the hardest game in the world. We didn't even realize it.
All right, Art, some tips for you here. Don't say head like a hole. Don't say the F word. Don't say the S word. But identify this Nine Inch Nails song by its first second.
One more time. I mean, that may be the easiest one, not to jinx you.
It's closer.
Closer.
Yeah!
Nicely done. All right, hold on.
All right, one more contestant, then we do the drawing. We're giving away tickets to see Nine Inch Nails at the Palladium in December.
Sarah in Moore Park, hi.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready for your second?
Absolutely.
Here you go. One more time.
Is it Gave Up?
No.
Oh. Sorry, it's Wish.
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 Thank you for playing. Hey,
got two people.
My credit, I give a lot of credit to all the contestants. That was a tough game today. And two of you came through to the final round. It's Art and Joy. Only one will be attending Nine Inch Nails at the Palladium. It's Adam McKay. Who's our winner?
The winner is Joy.
Joy. Yay! Congrats, Joy. Enjoy the show. You got the tickets.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And thanks for playing the game.
just a second.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
Parents are trying to get their 30-year-old son to move out of their house. They serve him a written notice 5 times, right?
Yep.
He still doesn't move, so they take him to court. Our listeners have demanded we discuss this story, and we will, coming up right after the top of the hour. Also, a brand new Bean Makes His Guest for you next half hour. First, Allie, on this Wednesday morning, what's happening?
Does anyone care about Meghan Markle's dad down there in Mexico?
I don't care about anything having to do with them.
Okay.
Why do you ask?
I ask this because he is still being chased by paparazzi. He said he can't even go through a drive-thru without getting hounded. And there's pictures of him grabbing a Starbucks drink Monday night, taken right after his friend had picked him up from a safe house where he's been recovering from his emergency heart surgery.
In a safe house?
Yeah, I found that odd wording. some would say just a hospital,
sure,
or somewhere where they're just...
safe house.
He's recuperating. But he said there were 5 cars filled with paps following him. Here's the thing. He's telling all of this to TMZ.
Hmm.
Oh.
So maybe, Thomas Markle, the fact that you have reached out to TMZ so often...
makes paparazzi think that perhaps you'd like to talk.
Absolutely. Makes them think, oh, if I get this picture and TMZ doesn't have it, I can then get it to TMZ.
Wasn't
maybe
the rumor,
just stop.
Wasn't the rumor also that those pictures before were set up?
Oh, they were. That's why
so he would have had to work with them then, too.
Absolutely.
Wow.
This is all of your making, sir. So let's not play the victim at this point. I mean, if it continues for a year, yeah, that's absurd. But right now... you did this, sir.
I don't understand why there's any interest beyond the wedding either, because the whole deal was whether he was going to make it to the ceremony or not. That's
right. Passed.
So why do we care about him now?
Exactly. It's all very, very weird. But maybe, Thomas, stop reaching out to the paparazzi, saying that you are being harassed by the paparazzi. It doesn't seem to make much sense.
Stop it.
That's what I'm saying, sir. That's what I'm saying. We have Shaquille O'Neal to thank for a boy band.
What?
Yeah. Not only is he a great basketball player, he's got a doctorate degree. He's raised kids. He's got his show on TNT, TBS, whichever one.
And he believes the earth is flat.
Does he really?
Does he really?
Oh, yeah. We've played that tape before. He's one of those guys.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Wow.
Well, he was instrumental in launching NSYNC. What? Apparently so. Yeah, Lance Bass has revealed that the NBA legend had a big hand in starting our career. He let them use the studio in his Orlando home when they were first making music. They got to hang out with them there. This is when he was like huge Orlando Magic guy way back then.
Mm-hmm.
He said there were Superman symbols everywhere. And Lance Bass, very kind of him, said we'd be very happy to let him take Joey Fatone's place in the band.
That's nice.
Oh, Joey.
I'd like to see that.
That sucks for Joey.
I would love to add him.
Yeah, you just don't have him. To kick out Joey.
Right.
Right?
What's Joey done?
But if he's he was the one who wanted to go into space, isn't he? Joey Fat One, right?
Fatone, I believe.
Oh, right, yeah. if Shaq is responsible in any way for NSYNC, we take his statue down at Staples Center, right?
But
that's pretty extreme.
I think we have to.
Up Brandi Chastain's plaque.
There you go.
Good.
Said Shaq.
You know, Timberlake came from NSYNC.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, he would have made it without those guys, though.
You think?
I do.
I think so, too.
He's
that
talented.
He had that crazy, like, Top Ramen hair back then.
Well,
he
did have Top Ramen hair. That's true.
Christine weighs in that NSYNC is life, by the way. So
NSYNC is life.
Apparently there are some differing points of view on this.
There are different factions. You know, some people are total Backstreet Boys kind of gals. Some the right people, New Kids on the Block gals. It's a matter of taste.
I gotta be a New Edition guy if I gotta pick one of them.
Well, I mean, OG, absolutely.
I think New Edition.
But I don't think New Edition, I think they're the OGs, they're definitely the best. But when we're talking NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, even New Kids seem young compared to those two bands.
Okay.
Are either of them still making music?
Oh, yeah.
NSYNC's now, are they?
No, not NSYNC. They haven't been together for a while, but Backstreet Boys, I think, have a residency in Vegas, right?
And they have a brand new album coming out in a couple of months. Yeah.
Is that right?
They sure do.
Stupid Shaq. Can we blame him for that, too?
Probably.
All boy bands?
All boy bands, absolutely. 98 degrees,
sure.
F you.
Way to go, Shaq.
All those other ones from Florida.
O-Town.
O-Town, thank O-Town. You. That makes sense, being O-Town. Couldn't pull that out. Thank you,
LFO.
Jim. LFO. LMFAO. No. Corn.
Corn,
thank
I don't
you,
think
Chip.
Was a boy
no,
then.
Okay.
I don't think.
All right.
Okay.
Wow, real bad news for Muggs and Dave, and I'm sorry you have to hear it first, but Fox has canceled its series L.A. to Vegas after one season.
I did not watch it often, but when I did, I thought it was charming.
It was funny, absolutely.
I thought it was funny, too.
The one where Dylan McDermott, he was the pilot. It was quite amusing.
Had a funny cast.
Absolutely. So apparently averaging 2.3 million viewers, so they got rid of it. But let's be honest, Fox got rid of everything.
Yeah,
true. Comedy. Right?
Clean yeah, they decided America doesn't need to laugh anymore, and I think they've misjudged the room.
Well, Fox, what's to laugh at, really, if we think about it? And if you were watching the TV show Unreal on Lifetime, that's one where they basically spoof The Bachelor, Bachelorette, whatnot. It's Shiri Appleby. She's a reality TV producer that's pushed to do really awful things by the boss, Constance Zimmer, of the shows that she's casting. It was canceled on Lifetime, but has now been picked up by Hulu. And the thing with that is the deal will also allow Hulu to stream seasons 1 through 3 as well. Here's the thing. Lifetime canceled it, so you wouldn't be able to see the upcoming 4th season that they had already filmed.
And they already did it?
There's just a show waiting to be seen, and Lifetime was like, not going to be here.
But it's finished.
No, still.
Sorry.
Yeah, real busy.
No room.
Yeah, got to do a show about a woman that snaps. Let's be honest, those shows are great. You ever watch Snapped?
I've not, no.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. So you're going to be able to see that on Hulu, which is exciting for them. But it's looking like maybe that might be the last season. And since it's already done, they don't really have to do anything. So that's exciting. Some birthdays for you. Actress Melissa McBride, she's Carol on Walking Dead.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
And then she blew someone's brain out,
she's
right?
She's the best on that show.
Okay, good.
She might be my favorite character.
Really?
Yes. She's a badass. She's awesome.
Okay. Is she the one that told them to look at the flowers?
Yep, yep.
Oh, wow. She's your favorite?
Yes.
Yeah, Kevin's favorite character is the one who shot a kid, right.
Oh, come on. It's the apocalypse, Dean. Take it easy.
Right?
Just look at the flowers,
Chip,
Kevin.
Chip's backing me up on this one, right? Carol's a badass.
All right, okay. Happy birthday to singer Jewel and actor and Price is Right host Drew Carey and the voice of Archer, H. John Benjamin, and that's what's happening.
Seven. All right, he gave away tickets to Nine Inch Nails this morning. Still coming up. You can join Kevin this Friday night at the LA Galaxy game in his section. We got tickets for that. We'll have later this hour tickets for the new Johnny Knoxville movie and comedy with Chris D'Elia, plus Disneyland tickets. We're bribing people at this point.
I mean, we've been bribing them for a long time. Let's be honest.
You can win all of that between now and 10 a.m. here on K-Rock.
Got a lot of tweets from people, a lot of people demanding that we do this story. At what age did you move out of the house, Bean?
That's a great question. I think I was around 19, maybe.
Allie?
College, so 17.
Same.
Yeah.
This guy's 30. This guy's 30 and he won't move out.
Before you mock, the economy goes up, the economy goes down. I know it's great right now, but I guarantee as expensive as housing is in Southern California, we have listers with jobs
yes.
who would love to move out of their parents' house.
Right.
And they're 20, 25, maybe even 30.
I agree.
But they can't do it.
But the thing is that their parents aren't begging them and sending them letters and taking them to court to get them to move out. I assume most people who are 30 and living at home have to and are being good about it and try to help out where they can. This guy's just a dick.
I agree.
His parents hate him.
I agree.
So they had to take him to court.
30-year-old Michael Rotundo is being evicted from his mom and dad's house. But he won't leave, so he's being taken to court by mom and dad.
I mean, that's a level of crazy you don't see often.
It's insane.
Anytime your parents are suing you, things have gone off the rails.
Something went wrong.
Yeah.
He claims legally he wasn't given enough notice to leave, but he's facing an uphill battle in the court of public opinion.
Oh, this is where they start interviewing people on the street that have no idea about this story and asking them questions.
He needs to get out.
Give his mother and father space, actually, because it's that time. He's 30. And then you're not paying rent or you're not, like, being independent. You got to be independent.
Court filings allege Rotundo doesn't contribute to the family's expenses and doesn't help out with chores around the house.
That doesn't make no sense if you're going to stay in your mother and them house 30 years old and don't help do nothing. Grow up.
His parents have given him 5 written notices over the past few months telling him he needs to leave.
Now... Yes, absolutely.
Now
after
your
the
parents,
first one, after
right,
the first letter,
right.
you give them 48 hours or a week or whatever it is, and then you change the locks.
But if you're the kid and you get a legal notice from your parents trying to ask you to leave, don't you leave?
Yeah.
Even if you're a dick, don't you leave?
Yes.
This is insanity.
You
they do. They give him 5 different letters, one of them offering him $1,100 to help him relocate.
Oh, jeez.
And he said, what? No thanks, I got a place.
And they cook for me and they clean for me and it's great. Why do you guys suppose, he clearly does not get along at all with his parents. Why do you suppose he wants to live under the same roof as them?
He's lazy and doesn't want to spend money on his own place.
Yeah, and I assume they don't have dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
I assume he stays in his... room,
yeah, they said he contributes nothing to
right.
the household. No chores, no nothing, so...
He just wants to save money.
Yeah. Okay.
They even claim they've offered to help him get started on his own. Rotundo is calling his parents' effort retaliatory.
I feel bad for both of them because he's not learning anything by staying at home, and he's just wasting their time and money.
Neighbors say they're sad to see such a great family go through this, but admit every parent has a limit.
I'm just going to suggest that this is not a family that you're sad to see go through this, honestly.
Really?
I mean,
think they, well, they obviously brought it all on themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got the dillweed son in their
yes,
house.
Yes, the dillweed son.
No one loves him. That family's a nightmare.
But I would expect them to be gone by 30.
The Rotundos are scheduled to hash it out again in court later this month, about 7 weeks before their son's 31st birthday. Reporting in
wow.
Camillus, I'm Justin Page.
All right, so that was about 7 weeks ago because now they've gone to court.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the update.
Tonight, a bizarre case of parents versus son. Mark and Christina Rotundo telling a judge through an attorney.
Seriously, dude.
I mean, come on. Here's the other thing. You threaten to sue. You
mm-hmm.
threaten to go to court. But most people, I think, end up settling in some way to short of court.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely. That would be, for most people, that would be enough to realize your parents are serious about this,
mm-hmm.
and it's really, really, really time to go before it gets ugly.
They're in court!
Yeah.
They're
not
literally
this guy.
Sitting in front of a judge.
Yep.
That their 30-year-old son must move out of their home.
They have no obligation to provide support. He's well over the age of 21.
In a lawsuit, they say they have sent him 5 letters in the past 2 months, like this one. You must leave this house immediately, telling him you have to work, even giving him more than $1,000 to find a new place.
There is no reason for these people to have him in their home.
Michael says he's planning to leave in a few months.
Oh, yeah, I'll leave, but I'll leave when I'm ready.
Right.
In a few months, not now, like when you guys want. Now the court.
I'm not a burden to them in the home. They don't provide laundry or food.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's the kid. I mean, I would like to suggest if they've sent you 5 letters asking you to leave and they're taking you to court and you're in court, you are a burden to them.
Right. And I can understand why they're not fluffing and folding for you, kid. Are you kidding me with him?
I'm not a burden to them in the home. They don't provide laundry or food. It's really a moot point for them to seek me to be ejected.
The judge, in the end, siding with the parents.
All right, now I'm going to play a little bit of audio that you're not going to be able to understand at all because it's the judge and it's from a great distance, maybe even out in the hallway. You can't tell where they're recording it from. But then afterwards, they guess what he said.
Sounded like you said you need to vacate today.
Sounded like he said you need to vacate today.
Well, the man was clearly missing some cues. So at least he's now. Yeah, I think so. At least he's now hearing from somebody that he has to listen to.
It sounded kind of like that, too, but that's just so ridiculous.
And David, tonight, Michael says he has his own web business and plans to appeal. But it did not go unnoticed that when he left the courthouse today.
When he left the courthouse today?
Oh, if he left with his parents, I swear to God, I'm going to burn this house down.
All right, he didn't leave with his parents necessarily, but where did he go?
He went home.
Back home.
He went right back to his parents' house.
David, we'll see how long that lasts you. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Allie, he's single.
I hate him. I hate his parents that put up with that crap. I need a crying room. That's what I need.
Is that our friend Beer Mug?
Yo, yo, yo!
Muggs, what do you think about a 30-year-old who's living at home?
Right? Look, what a loser, okay?
Right? Hey, since you're here, let's play some B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes. I don't know if I've brought it up before, but what does penis slapping have to do with anything that we're doing on B-Mix?
I don't know, but I love it, and I insist we keep using it.
All right, caveat here before we play the game. I've got a list in front of me, and I'm going to ask the participants in the room to name as many of them as they can in the top 10, and we'll see who gets the most. The caveat is that, Kevin, if you don't win this game...
Come on, don't put that kind of pressure on me.
...then I don't know anything about you, because I would put my paycheck and my mortgage on you winning this game. That's how confident I am that this is your category. I think, Muggs, you're going to be fine with it. Allie, you are always a good player, but I think this is going to be Kevin's game, so let's see. The category today for B Makes This Guess is the best ice cream toppings.
Yay!
The best ice cream toppings. So just imagine you got some ice cream and there's just a full service bar of anything you can imagine. By the way, there are 100 items on this list for ice cream toppings.
What?
Yeah. I've only got the top 25 here in front of me, but there are a lot of things you could put on your ice cream. What are, this isn't most popular, this is best. Okay. All right. So, Kevin, you sit at the head of the table for B-Mix's Guess. You get to go first. What's a... All right, our listeners didn't get to hear that.
Man.
Oh,
our
dear.
Listeners missed that because we have something called a 7-second delay.
Come on, though.
That may be how you enjoy ice cream.
What about your Lord and Savior?
I used to work at Cold Stone Creamery. I don't think we had that topping there.
Oh, you had it. You had it.
Sorry.
I'll give you a real guess.
Oh, now you want to guess again. Okay.
Hot fudge. Holy moly.
Hot fudge.
Yeah, that would be on there.
Well, I mean...
Chocolate? Well, is there a difference in... How is hot fudge not a topping? Thank you.
I'm gonna tell you that fudge is on the list at number 24.
Fudge is not a... No, they're talking about chunks of fudge, I would assume.
Yes, but you're talking about melted?
Yes!
Well, I'm going to give you number 2 chocolate syrup then. How about
this?
Same thing.
Totally different.
Same thing.
Really?
Completely different.
If it gets me a point, it's the
Whatever.
Same.
Wow. You know, I think you're right, Allie. Now that I think about it,
it's not the same.
So hot fudge is not among the top 25.
Stupid. That's insane. This list sucks.
Stupid.
No, I'm telling you guys, it's a really good list.
Okay. All right, so I said hot fudge, so none, I guess, for me. Go ahead.
Okay,
so
no, I gave you one.
Continue.
All right. Beer Mug, I believe you're up next.
Rainbow mother effing sprinkles.
Rainbows. You guys are going to love this, but no.
What?
No rainbow sprinkles. Mm.
Wow. Okay, then Jimmy's.
Jimmy's.
The chocolate sprinkles.
Yes, that is number 9. Chocolate sprinkles is number 9 on the list. Well done, Allie McKay.
Thank you.
Did I get credit for hot fudge?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was getting his chocolate sauce. I was just going to go the other one that he already said. I'm going to say nuts.
Nuts. Just generic nuts?
These.
Number 15 is peanuts.
D's.
Kevin was pointing.
Not right. So much D's as they are D's.
Number 15 is nuts. I'm sorry, not inside the top 10. All right, Muggs, we're talking about the best ice cream toppings.
Gotta go. Caramel, baby.
Caramel, baby.
Caramel, baby. Now you're talking about like caramel syrup,
right,
I guess is
right.
What you're talking about. Yes, that is number three on the
right.
list.
What?
Caramel syrup is number three, just behind chocolate syrup. I'm stunned. Stunned that nobody has come up with number one yet. Honestly, I thought all three of you would yell it at the same time when we started. Allie, you're up.
Whipped cream.
Number one, ladies and gentlemen. Yay! Yes, whipped cream on ice cream is considered the best of all ice cream toppings.
With hot fudge, though. You can just put it on by itself all willy-nilly.
I'm boycotting this list.
Right? Then you drizzle D's nuts on top, right?
I mean, it does say, I mean, we did give him chocolate syrup, which I think is what hot fudge, I mean, I think that's the equivalent, I think, is what they call it.
It's not.
All right, Kevin, I think we can go around one more time, maybe?
I'm going to say banana.
Yeah, a banana is a great guess, but it's number 14. Number 14 on the list. Muggsy.
Maraschino cherries.
Number 6.
All right. Mm.
Well done. I like a good cherry on top of my ice cream, man.
Does that include all fruit, then?
That is the
only... Oh, trying to get some hints.
That is the only fruit in the top 10.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. chocolate chips.
Yes, chocolate chips are number 8 on the list. Well done. You get a point as well. Hey, what is the score? Anyone keeping track?
I've got 3. Muggs has 2. Kevin has a questionable 1.
Wow. Shall
and it's questionable.
Shall we end it there with a winner? Or do you guys feel like you have one more in you?
I got one more in me.
All right. Kevin?
Kevin?
I know, I'm thinking.
All right. And you're chewing.
Chewing my gum.
I can hear that.
Ice cream toppings is the topic.
How does Kevin not know?
This is crazy.
I swear to God.
This is your area.
I mean, you would think it's my specialty.
Okay, let's just call it right there.
How about some goddamn butterscotch?
Yeah.
Allie,
butterscotch. What are you, communist?
You are the winner, by the way. Butterscotch is number 17. 17 list. Butterscotch syrup. Here's your top. I'll give you the top 20, all right? Top 20. Waffle cone pieces.
Dumb.
Twix.
Yes.
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Of course.
Butterscotch syrup.
Sure.
Cookies. You know, you break up a cookie and an ice cream. Then we did peanut
topping.
Wait, did you just say butterscotch syrup?
Yes.
So F you, it was in the top 10.
No, he's in like 17.
17.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. But I still won? Okay.
You still won, yes. 15 peanuts, I think someone had. Someone had banana at 14. Cookie dough was number 13. Strawberries at number 12. Peanut butter cup at 11. Mm-hmm. Number 10 is a great, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't get the love it deserves, and that's the magic shell.
Oh, that's the chocolate that hardens?
Yeah. The magic shell.
Yeah, not that great.
How dare you. Number 9, chocolate sprinkles. Number 8, chocolate chips. Number 7, M&M's, you guys. Have you heard of
M&M's?
Sure.
Number 6, Muggsy, your maraschino cherries. Number 5, another phenomenal topping, Oreo cookies.
Doesn't that fall in the cookie category?
Yes.
Well, they have it separate. I'm sorry.
This list blows.
Number 4, brownie bits.
What?
Then caramel syrup, chocolate syrup, and number 1 was whipped cream. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
I got to ask both of you guys this question. When you watch the news and you see the way things are going and you see the way people think and the things that people know and don't know and the things that people decide and the way people live, do you feel like we're going in the right direction?
No.
Or do you feel like, as George Carlin used to say, we are watching civilization circle the drain?
Yes to that.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
And Allie, let me ask you this in particular. Do you think it's because we are just so much more interconnected than ever before? We're aware of so much more news, so many more stories, so many more awful things going on because of social media. And these things have always happened and maybe we just didn't hear about them as much?
I think that does play a part. I think about that a lot.
I think it plays a big part.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it used to be you just had a half hour of news a day, mm-hmm. or you'd occasionally tune into cable news. And cable news at that time used to do news instead of nonstop 24-hour political partisanship.
Yeah.
So you would miss a lot of stories. Now, the story that I'm going to bring you, nobody's a bad person here. Nobody's an evil person.
We'll be the judge of that.
Okay. I would invite you to be the judge of that.
Okay.
But I do think we're dealing with some dum-dums. I do think that's happening. This news comes out of, let's say, South Carolina.
Headlines, a controversy involving a graduation cake, the highest honor for a graduating senior, was censored on the cake decoration.
The Lokendry family says it's a misunderstanding that led to frustration. Now they're laughing about it. Our Bill Burr has more on the fallout from the frosting faux pas.
Bill.
Okay.
What happened?
First of all, the frosting faux pas. I don't know whether I hate it or I love it.
Both.
All right. Have you already figured out what the problem is in this story? Did you hear the setup for a graduation cake was censored? Student graduates with high honors, cake was censored. What's going on so far?
Oh, I really hope that they didn't think a diploma was something it shouldn't have been.
All right, let's find out, shall we?
Ashley and Dean, who knew sweets could be censored? But that's what a West Ashley family says happened to their special order. It was a graduation cake that became an unexpected conversation for the entire family.
The signs of a graduation party are still left around the house of the Kaczynski family. Jacob graduated Saturday with the highest honors from a Christian-based homeschooling program.
By the way, one of my concerns about the people involved in this story is the news channel that's doing the story who refuses to say out loud what was censored on the cake.
What?
You guys figured it out yet?
No.
No.
So his mom ordered a cake.
He did not know we were getting a cake because he's not a big cake eater. So we were all standing there waiting to see it. And when we opened it, it was a huge shock to all of us.
Kara Kaczynski explained how she ordered the 3/4-inch sheet cake online through Publix. But when she requested the bakery include Jacob's honor, she was alerted profane or special characters weren't allowed.
All right, I'm just going to tell
Jacob's
you.
Jacob's yeah.
He graduated with a 4.89 grade point average and the coveted honor of summa cum laude.
Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, summa cum laude, and the people making the cake said, we can't put that on a cake. That's profane.
Oh,
you can't put that
love.
Word. So burn everybody to the ground in this whole story?
Yes.
Can you even, though?
No.
Can you even?
I was hoping they thought the diploma was a gun or something.
Uh-huh.
Something.
And as I mentioned earlier, no one in the news will even say summa cum laude. And I'm wondering if that's because they think that's going to be the reaction from some viewers. And other viewers are going to start writing a strongly worded letter because that kind of language is on the news.
Oh,
that's awesome.
It's unbelievable. Is it awesome, Kevin?
Yes, for the same reason you hate it.
All right,
yes.
Let's see, there's more.
Kara clarified her request with special instructions.
The website had censored me, and this is a website you can refer to for the Latin term for summa cum laude, which means with highest honors.
All right, so mom's willing to say it. They're willing to put that on the news. So she, even after the cake was censored, she sent them back a note and said, look, this is a Latin term. It means with highest honors. Here's a website that'll show that I'm not just fooling you here. Put it on the damn cake.
Kara said when her husband picked up the cake from Publix on Savannah Highway and Main Road, he didn't know the bakery omitted the middle Latin word.
Which we won't say on the news.
We can't say it because
it was replaced with...
Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable.
It was replaced with hyphens.
The cake experience was kind of frustrating and humiliating because I had to explain to my friends and family... like what that meant, and they were giggling uncontrollably. At least my friends were.
By the way, so they have a big party with a whole bunch of people, including his grandparents at the house, and everybody's like, what's so funny? And then they have to have this conversation in front of everybody, including old people, why this cake was
sweet.
Censored. And by the way, how many friends does this kid,
right,
who is home Christian schooled with a 4.89 grade point average, have? I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, make stereotypes here, but come on. Right? These were all his parents' friends, right?
I would assume so, yeah.
The Kaczynski said a manager from Publix apologized and offered a refund. For now, they're nibbling on the leftover dessert and looking forward to Jacob's freshman year at Wingate University.
So there you go, guys. Summa cum laude. Censored on a cake. Mm. What did Childish Gambino say? This is America.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. It really is. Come on now.
Exactly. Well said, Kevin.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Right? Kevin's glitter buddy.
I'm not sure he's my glitter buddy.
He's your glitter buddy. I saw the picture you posted with you with the glitter all over your face, party with Kitty G at EDC at Las Vegas.
I mean, all that happened, and it was weird.
Well, we'll tell that story if you missed it, and then we're going to be inviting your calls coming up in the next half hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show about the unbelievably strange coincidence that you ran into a certain celebrity that in a million years you never thought you'd meet, and you got your picture taken with him. Because Kevin did not go out to the desert planning on hanging with Kenny G, I'll tell you that.
And we walked past him three or four times before Dave finally said, should we get a picture with him? I was like, yeah, I guess.
You don't miss that opportunity, man.
We weren't as impressed as Bean was.
It's Kenny G.
Right, I know that. I get that.
I could say it with my voice even higher if it makes it more impressive. It's Kenny G.
I mean, I don't think that helps, but...
Anyway, we'll talk about that coming up. First, though, Allie, you got something to give away, too.
I do. Action Point will be in theaters on June 1st, but how about a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere?
Yay!
All right.
Kids love it. Yeah, it's going to be happening at the Arclight in Hollywood on May 31st. If you haven't heard about this movie, Johnny Knoxville is the crackpot owner of this low-rent, out-of-control amusement park. Rides designed not with a lot of safety in mind.
Sure.
They don't really want to keep you as safe and not bloody as other amusement parks.
This looks so great.
It looks so good. And in case you missed it, this is the movie where he had concussions. He broke 2.5 teeth and he blew his nose and an eyeball popped out. That's real. Ooh. Those things happened during the filming of Action Point.
Bring the pain.
So here's the thing. You just have to sit in the theater and enjoy it and not worry about all those things that happen to Johnny Knoxville.
Because it doesn't happen to you.
It doesn't happen to you.
But don't blow your nose during that movie.
I wouldn't, just to be safe.
Maybe ever again.
Yeah. Let's take callers 20 through 24 at 1-800-520-1067. Those five winners are going to get a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Action Point at the Arclight in Hollywood on May 31st.
His prescription, pain.
It's true. Do you guys remember the big movie push that Netflix did for the movie Bright?
Yes.
With Will Ferrell. Will Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
It was a huge deal because people were like, wait, this is a Netflix movie that's out in theaters. People were a little confused by it. Well, they're up to it again. But this time, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
He's going to star in a movie called Six Underground. It's a Michael Bay action movie. It revolves around six billionaires who fake their own deaths and form an elite team to take down the bad guys. Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay. You in?
Yeah.
Can I...
I was in at Ryan Reynolds.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I get you even more in? Like, sure. Even though you're... What?
Sure.
You're totally in, but just a little more in. Ryan Reynolds will be reunited with his Deadpool and Deadpool 2 writers, Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese. They wrote the script.
Dude,
okay.
All right, fine.
Come on.
These two are the best.
Do you think Netflix is like, seriously, we are ruling the world right now?
I would think
they
should
be.
Yeah.
So in the movie, they fake their own deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like Muggs did, remember?
No, he said he would never
Muggs,
do that.
I hate to say this, but it may be time to fake your own death.
I don't want
to
kill myself. I love life too much.
Fake your own
death. Oh, holy crap.
Do we have to explain fake your own death? The first word is fake.
Forgot about that.
God bless.
I love life.
He loves life too much to fake his own death.
Right? He doesn't even want to fake it.
No. Oh, he is such a treasure.
He really
you guys.
Is.
So, yeah, Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay, Paul Wernick, and Rhett Reese.
And
Netflix.
And.
Come on. It's.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Sure. Good stuff.
Sure.
The folks over at Amazon Prime have picked up a new docuseries about the economy. It's produced by Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, NPR business journalist Adam Davidson, and hosted by Cal Penn. Here's the thing. The series is going to take viewers around the world to meet the geniuses, the madmen, and the hucksters who make the decisions and investments that change our lives and how money, greed, and power affect our hyper-connected world.
I haven't heard the word huckster in a long time.
Yeah. That could be really interesting.
So boring.
You think, though? I know it's about the economy, but these are things that we are going to we use every single day.
Oh, that sounds so boring.
Really? All right.
Nope.
Okay. I was thinking it could be okay.
All right. You still can.
You're boring. Okay, well, that's personal, so that's weird. Can I interest you in Charlize Theron?
Sure. Very much so.
All right. She's reportedly starring as Megyn Kelly in a new movie about the women who worked at Fox News under its disgraced former chairman, Roger Ailes. So it's all about the women that kind of rose up and took down that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good man.
No.
The film is being made by Jay Roach. You might recognize him. He did Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, Meet the Parents, a bunch of other movies. And they're casting actors to play Greta Van Susteren, Bill O'Reilly, and Rupert Murdoch as well. I don't know.
You don't know if we're ready to see a Me Too movie?
Yeah, I just...
It does seem like there's so much negativity in that world.
Yeah.
That it hasn't had time to die down yet for us to be interested in watching more of it.
Because it's not dying down. It's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
so,
true.
I don't know.
Hey, fun fact about director Jay Roach.
Sure.
Nope.
Married to Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals.
Really?
Yeah.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Forever. Like, 30 years or something.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Kevin?
Yeah. Sure.
Real hard to interest Kevin this morning.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
Well, thank you for bringing us to birthdays, Melissa McBride. It is your birthday. Carol on The Walking Dead, singer Jewel, Drew Carey, actor, Price is Right host. I've been saying H. John Benjamin, the voice of Archer,
mm-hmm.
producer Christine.
All morning.
Well, yeah, it's correct, but she's like, in addition to Archer, he's also the voice of Bob on Bob's Burger, the two greatest shows ever. She watches those two religiously, like more so than shows with actual humans.
Did she say the greatest two shows ever?
She has actually said that in here with us. Archer and Bob's Burgers are producer Christine's two favorites. And another cartoon. I'm not sure what that one was.
I'm just going to say that's not possible.
No, she has said it.
I know she said it.
She believes it. It's true.
Okay.
She will cut you.
That she will.
I'm just saying. And happy birthday to Ryan Coogler, director. Just the movies like Fruitvale Station, Creed, Black Panther.
Mm.
No bigs.
That's all.
No bigs. And that's what's happening.
That was weird because Allie just negotiated a birthday gift from Bean.
Yeah, she did.
While you were listening to 21 Pilots.
A lot of weird stuff going on here behind the scenes. Here's a tweet from a Twitter named Swamp Dragon from May 19th.
All right.
Did effing Kenny G just play EDC? Yes, that's what happened.
Yes,
Kenny,
he did.
Kenny G, who I got to imagine, by the way, that there are a lot of people listening to us, younger people, have no idea who Kenny G was.
Play that ridiculous song that he's so famous for.
Well, this is the part that people know if they know anything. This is one of a number of hit singles, but he had even more hit albums. He sold over 75 million albums worldwide,
oh
and all of the songs sound exactly like this one. They are indistinguishable from one another.
Yeah.
When was his heyday? I guess it would have been 90s, right? He would have been 90s
maybe.
Artist?
Yeah, 80s, 90s, sure.
80s, 90s. Yeah, so enormously popular, and he still is in this, the smooth jazz world, but he's not something that you would ever expect to see at a rock festival or at an EDC festival. So how did it happen that he was even there, Kevin? Was he friends with one of the acts on the bill?
Well, Dave, the King of Mexico, was there with me. Who is he coming out on stage with?
He played with an artist named OK, and he has a song called Thief that has a big sax part in it. So he brought out Kenny G, and he performed
and
that sax drop.
Went and crazy.
They did.
Oh, wait, not really.
They did, except they don't know why. Because, this guy comes out playing a saxophone in that big drop, and people are digging it because it's live.
And they're all eat up.
Yeah. And they had no clue who he was.
Right. Oh, I believe that. I totally believe that.
Yeah, but...
Do we have to listen to the music for this whole thing?
Yeah, we do.
I'd rather.
So you guys are there, and you're egging out, too. And then...
I'm sorry, we're what?
Egging out.
You're egging out.
Oh, I think
so
Egan.
At some point, you guys spot Kenny G in the crowd, right?
Yeah. We find him sort of in a backstage area, and we walk past him, and we go, oh, that was Kenny G. That was our excitement level. And then we walked past by, and we saw him again, and we were like,
Kenny G, still here.
Yep, still Kenny G.
How about that? That's Kenny G.
And then we finally find him in the most Kenny G place at EDC, ordering kombucha. So I say, Kevin, we need to get a photo with Kenny G. We're just keep running into
him.
And
this is like the third or fourth time we saw him. And I was like, all right. That's all we thought at the time. Right.
Hold on, here's my favorite part.
It's the same as all the other parts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. All right, so you go over, and is he cool about it?
Yeah, I mean, what is he going to say? No, get away from me.
I mean, yeah, he's cool about it, but he doesn't seem like he's in a great mood.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what his normal mood is. I haven't hung out with Kenny G.
Right.
He didn't seem like he was thrilled to be
there. Well, he's smiling in the photo.
Sort of.
He's sort of smiling. Here's what I want to say. What I said Monday when we discovered this when we got back on the air after the weekend, I would have freaked out at the opportunity to grab a selfie with Kenny G.
I mean,
that's amazing.
That's not amazing.
I just thought it was funny.
I just thought it would be funny. I'm sorry, Bean, but both of us thought it would be funny. That's the reason we did it.
And I don't mean just because I'm a huge fan or anything like that, or he's a hero or a superstar or anything like that. I guess...
Turn off the goddamn music.
I guess it's for the same reason you do, which is that it's just so random and so weird.
It was random and weird.
Listen, Bean, Dua Lipa was at EDC. I would have been excited to take a picture with
Agreed.
Her.
Agreed.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Yeah.
100 times
I just thought it was like, this would be funny.
Yeah, all right, Kenny G, why not? I almost didn't even post it. I was just like, should I post it? I guess, why not?
By the way, please seek out this photograph on all the Kevin and Bean social media, because Dave looks great. He's smiling and buzzed. Kenny G is being Kenny G, but what's going on with Kevin? What's going on with Glitter Boy?
I mean, look, I had went in Rome, right?
Right.
I had glitter. That's how I roll at EDC.
Have you, Allie, or you, Dave, ever gotten a Kenny G equivalent selfie with somebody that you never anticipated you would meet, and you treasure the photo just because it's so wacky?
Oh,
Allie, you must have had a million people on the TV show, right?
Yeah, none that are too weird. Like, I think this is a comedy thing. Like,
it is.
Kenny G, total comedy
thing. It's a comedy thing.
Yeah.
Also, because we were at EDC,
right,
which is an EDM festival, and he doesn't fit that world at all.
Right.
So all of that was working into it.
I do have...
Plus glitter.
I do have a picture that I treasure. I said one day on the air that the only person I ever wrote a big fan letter to when I was in elementary school was Ricky Schroeder, and he never wrote back.
Mm.
And I just joked about how it devastated me for the rest of my life. One of his publicists from Hallmark Channel, he had some movie coming out, was watching and was like, I'm going to arrange him to come to one of her live shots. Well, he certainly did. Unfortunately, I was dressed in a sumo wrestler costume.
Like you did in those days, sure.
So it's me with what I thought was always the love of my life, Ricky Schroeder, with a sumo wrestler outfit, and I'm trying to cover up the nipples on the costume. It's just, that's probably one of my all-time favorite pictures.
Yes, but let's be careful here, because we don't want people to call who met the equivalent of what Ricky Schroeder was to you. People you were really excited.
So
like,
that
Kevin...
wasn't helpful.
Right.
Well, okay.
I mean, it wasn't on topic.
It wasn't right on topic. Like, we're not looking for, if Kevin gets his picture taken with Kobe, that's a moment. That's
right.
That's a life changer, right?
Stay on target.
Sorry. Apologies.
We're looking for the opposite of that.
Right.
We're looking for, you were in Jack in the Box and William Hung was there and you went over and got a selfie with him.
Yes.
That's what we're looking
pretty strong.
For.
Got it. Okay.
So 1-800-520-1067, a random celebrity that you got a selfie with. We want to hear about it. Dave, before we go, you have one?
Listen, I just got back from EDC, so my brain is booting up again. But no.
So he has no idea.
He's got Kenny G.
I got Kenny G.
Let's go to Chris in Irvine. He's got one that I think is right in pocket. Hello, Chris.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And ironically, I did see William Hung at Carl Strauss a couple weeks ago.
Is that right?
He was working there, though, right?
Yeah, basically. I was a few years ago, I was at the Irvine Spectrum picking up a White Elephant Christmas gift, and none other than Michael Bolton was there signing autographs.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. That's pretty strong.
There you go.
Strong.
That was the win for the night.
Well, I love it.
Treasure it always. Thank you for the call, sir. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Smashing Pumpkins, let's take one call. Let's make it Brandon. Good morning, Brandon. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, guys. I just want to say thank you guys for those Deadpool tickets a couple weeks ago. That was an epic movie.
Awesome. Oh, good. Nice. Good. Glad you enjoyed it. We're talking about random celebrities. You're not even a fan of them, but you couldn't resist taking a photo, and you got a great selfie and a story to tell. Who's yours?
Okay. So, believe it or not, it's Bridget the Midget.
All right. Kevin's girlfriend.
All right. I'm not sure she's my girlfriend.
It was fantastic. So, I work for a tow company in Hollywood. I don't want to say the name, but so she had got her car impounded, and she came in, and naturally she's pretty upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just, you know, dealing with it and just paying for it and getting out of there, she decided to throw a fit. So,
is it because she has a short temper?
Boom!
That was a good one. I like that.
Not really, but go ahead.
So we have these fences that are right by the office window where you pay to separate the tow yard from the office.
How tall is the fence?
She decides,
I think Kevin is suggesting you're giving us too much detail on the story. Why did you get your photo taken with porn star Bridget the
Midget?
How
did you turn her, by the way, from being outraged to getting a picture?
Well, I ended up just kind of taking the picture, but she was hanging on the fence like she was an orangutan in a zoo. And she was going side to side and screaming, and I couldn't resist. And I took the picture, and, of course, it was gold throughout the entire tow company because no one thought to do it. But that's my picture with me in the back, you know, with Bridget the Midget in the background hanging on a fence.
And what if you were to send us that photo?
Oh,
right?
I'm in uniform. That could be a lawsuit for me.
Mm. We'll blur it out. Don't worry about that. All right, thank you for the call, Brandon. We appreciate it.
The tow truck mafia must be more dangerous than I imagined. All right, beat Bridget the Midget, 1-800-520-1067. Talk to you now. You can see the picture of Kevin and Dave, the King of Mexico, and the great Kenny G from EDC Las Vegas this past weekend at the Kevin and Bean Instagram account. It's at Kevin and Bean. It's well worth checking out. And we're talking about, you got a picture taken, a selfie with a random celebrity. Listen to this, you guys. I love this. Pedro from Compton sent us a photo. We got to post this, too. He and the celebrity look so happy to be taking a picture together at Shake Shack. He ran into TV's Urkel, Jaleel White.
Oh, wow. That's strong.
Luck out.
But if you're somebody like Jaleel, who, by the way, is apparently just a great guy, you can't go anywhere without people wanting to get that selfie, right?
Yeah,
everybody
I
would want to
so.
Get a picture taken with Urkel, I would imagine. So that's very cool. All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to go?
Let's start with Russ. In Monrovia. Hi, Russ.
His name's Rudy.
Hi, Rudy.
Can you put Russ on the phone, please?
Hi, Russ, Rudy.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Good morning.
Yeah, so the random person that I met was Bill Nye at the Pasadena DMV.
Hack.
At the DMV? Wow.
Yeah.
Why hack, Ellie?
I was there to get my license renewed, and I look to the left, and I see an Asian woman, like, spazzing out over, like, an elderly man. And at first, I'm like, who is that? And I see, and it's him. Everybody knows Bill Nye.
Sure, sure.
Over an elderly man.
and I look, and it's one thing, like, my hands start shaking, and I'm like, at first, I accepted. I was like, don't go up there. Don't be rude. He's at the DMV. Like, I don't want to be that guy. Like,
listen, if he's at the DMV, he's got nothing but time.
Yeah. And then I was like, no, you have to get photographic evidence. If you don't have a picture, it didn't happen.
Correct. That's true. That is very true.
And so I walk up to him, and I'm like, I'm all shaking, like, I'm hello, sir. And he's like, oh, and he already knew the routine. He's like, you want to take a picture? And I was like, yeah. I pull out my phone, and I'm like, say cheese. And he's like, raise your chin and look at the lens. And I kind of froze, and I was like, is he giving me advice? Oh, my God. I'm getting taught by Bill Nye.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Keep your advice to yourself, old man.
Allie, you got a selfie with Bill Nye like about a week ago.
I did.
As a matter of fact. And it was a thrill for you as well.
Very exciting.
All right. We got to go to line 2, Tara in Corona.
This is huge.
This is huge for a certain segment of the audience who grew up with this man in this movie. 1-800-520-1067. Tara, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Hooty-hoo. Happy people.
Hooty-hoo to you as well.
I was in IKEA in Orange County years ago, and, you know, they have those mock bedrooms and rooms.
Right.
But there was a guy jumping on the bed with a beanie on, and it was. They don't all look alike, by the way.
Okay, take it easy.
That goes without saying. But for folks who didn't hear, Long Duk Dong, who was a character, very popular character in 16 Candles, Hughes movie. Yeah. So was he working there?
No, he was just there. It looked like he was on some happy pills.
I would say so, because jumping on a bed in a store does not seem ideal. Okay.
It was funny. Everybody knew who he was as soon as he jumped down and throwing the little, automobile. Yeah, all of it. It was
all right. That's a moment you'll never forget. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. All right, we only have time for one more, Kevin, but we got some great calls here. Do you want to talk to line 7 or line 8? Which one do you want?
What are you talking about? I want 6.
Let's do 6. All right. Sorry, Steven Seagal and David Hasselhoff. We're not going to hear those stories. Let's find out who we're going to hear instead.
Those are much bigger stars. Let's go to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Why? So special. I was number 6.
Yes, you are. Number 6. Tell us who you got a selfie with.
Yeah, I got a selfie with Scott Disick. I was in London. My in-laws wanted to go get high tea at, I think it's called Claridge's. And so we're waiting for our table, and in walks Scott Disick with his posse and all his Louis Vuitton bags. And
Scott Disick has a posse?
Yeah, he had a posse with him. I did not recognize any of these people. And my in-laws had no idea who Scott Disick is. I'm like, you guys know who that is, right? No one cares. And I'm like, all right, I got to get a selfie with this guy. And so he's some discrepancy with his luggage is going on. And I'm like waiting for my moment because I'm like, my friends are going to freak. And so finally, he takes a side and he's waiting. He looks so pissed, but I go up to him shaking and I'm just like, can I get a selfie? And he looks so pissed off in the picture. Like, do not take this picture.
So he took the picture, but was miserable.
He looked miserable. And I don't know if Kourtney Kardashian knew he was there at the time, but maybe that's the reason he didn't want to be seen.
Good point. Being seen with you could have caused an international incident. Exactly. All right. Thanks for the call.
We appreciate it.
Hearing Jack White in the morning makes me happy, by the way.
Same.
It's a good sound right there. Hey, Disneyland Resort package we told you about with the Pixar Fest, give you that in 5 minutes. 5 minutes from right now on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Miss Allie McKay, what's happening?
Well, this new Men in Black movie that's supposed to come out basically like a year from now. I think it's June of 2019. Mm-hmm. It's shaping up. Chris Hemsworth.
Oh.
Tessa Thompson. Ooh. And now Liam Neeson reportedly in talks. Yeah. Apparently, neither Tommy Lee Jones or Will Smith will be in the spinoff, but they're looking at Liam to play the head of the Men in Black organization in London, where the story is going to begin. No role yet on what Hemsworth will be playing, but I'm already in. Those three? You kidding me?
That sounds great.
Excellent. And we talked about this earlier today. Bean went to see Taylor Swift last night in his beloved Seattle. And the opener, Camila Cabello, was not there because she was dehydrated, had a low-grade fever after she performed at the Billboard Music Awards on Sunday. So what did they do? Did they have a different opener or did they start late?
They just started late. Yeah, they said Charlie XCX come out in her regular slot and Taylor in her regular slot. There was no fill-in or substitution.
Interesting. All right. We also found out that Taylor Swift is quite proud of her, quote, two fur babies. Apparently, her two cats, Olivia Benson and Meredith Grey, made a cameo in the blockbuster film Deadpool 2. She showed off a photo from the movie where he's wearing a T-shirt with the kitty cat's faces on it. And she said, quote, she's so proud of my fuzzy daughters.
And your cats aren't that cute.
My fuzzy daughters,
fuzzy
she said.
Daughters.
She said those words.
Crazy.
It's a good sound. Good sound.
It's what you want.
Love it.
It's what you want.
Love that sound.
Soothing. It's Cat of Thrones, you guys.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. I could fall asleep to that.
So happy he is. Well, this is a lot of money to be divided up. Matt Lauer and his estranged wife, Annette Roque, are reportedly on the brink of a $100 million divorce.
Whoa. Whoa, how much money does Matt Lauer have?
Well, he was making $25 million per year for his final 3 years at NBC.
Okay.
So they're saying...
I'm guessing around $100 million.
Around $100 million, absolutely. By the way, in case you're wondering about homes... The couple owns a Hamptons mansion, which they purchased for $36.5 million in 2017.
Wow.
She lives there with the couple's three children, and reportedly, Matt Lauer is living in the guest house there. They also have two additional properties, both on the market, one in Sag Harbor in the Hamptons as well, listed at $12.75 million, and a New York City property that's on sale for $7.35
million. Wow, these are a lot of big numbers.
Wow. Right. And this isn't the first time that she has filed for divorce in the couple's 20-year marriage. She first filed in 2006, citing cruel and inhumane behavior.
Ooh.
But she then withdrew it a few weeks later, and then she was shopping for a divorce lawyer again in 2014. That, maybe this one should stick, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a question, Allie, and don't get mad at me. I'm just asking the question.
I like that.
God damn it!
Yes, Dean.
A guy like Matt Lauer, and there are a lot of them in his position, mm-hmm. you know, Charlie Rose, lots of these other guys. So is the plan, do you think, and is it right, that they will just never work again? Are they unemployable for the rest of their lives because of the heinous crimes that they perpetrated on women throughout their careers?
To work in the same capacity that he did at, say, a Today Show?
Oh, I don't know. No. I wouldn't expect he'd ever get a job like that again. But
no.
Would anyone hire him to do anything ever? Or is he unemployable for the rest of his life?
Look at Mel Gibson. I mean, he's up for Oscars.
I mean, you do have to consider the bad PR, though. How much that's going to hurt your company. So maybe that works against him in getting any other job, at least for a while.
But, yeah, I guess enough time goes by and we tend to forget, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a sad state of affairs. But, like, look at, like, a Bill O'Reilly who was paying people $30 million to shut up, who his kids talked in court about him dragging his wife down the stairs by her hair. This is a guy that I have no doubt will have a job again very soon.
Yeah, and he's got a subscription service now. I think he's doing a paid podcast.
Sure.
Yeah, so he does still have fans. Do you think that Do you think that they should be unemployable for the rest of their lives? You, in a perfect world, if you could rig things, would you want nobody to ever hire them ever?
It depends on the severity of their crimes, but for me, it disgusted me when you see Hollywood up and clapping for a Woody Allen. Or up and clapping for rapey McDougal that fled the country.
Right.
It's disgusting. And it's disgusting that people work with Mel Gibson, who beat his girlfriend when she was holding her child.
Yeah.
Said some of the most heinous, racist, anti-Semitic things.
Right.
And everyone shook their finger for a second and then lined back up to work with him. It shows the lack of moral integrity of so many people, not only Hollywood. People are still going to see his movies, so that's on you people too.
I think money trumps everything.
Sadly,
so
I think
that's Mel Gibson
true.
Can still make money, if Bill O'Reilly can still make money, they will.
I think that's true. Yeah, I don't think Joe, your CPA, it's not going to be that big of a deal if
you know
he's
Joe.
I do know Joe. He does great work. He writes off a ton. Yeah, it's just it really disturbs me, but. You know, I'm just more morally good than most people. I can't help it.
Well, Mrs. Lauer, or whatever your maiden name is.
Wasn't that funny, Kevin? Whatever you doubled over.
Whatever Mrs. Lauer's maiden name is that she's going back to, please enjoy your $100 million.
That's what I'm saying. Some birthdays for you. Singer Jewel, actor and Price is Right host Drew Carey, actor H. John Benjamin, voice of Archer, and Bob of Bob's Burgers. By the way, we were talking about producer Christine.
Yeah.
Those are her two favorite shows. And
yes.
I couldn't remember the third.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Morty. How'd I forget that one?
That one's understandable.
Apologies,
that's great.
Christine. Apologies. And Ryan Coogler, director, Black Panther, Creed, Fruitvale Station. The guy is a talent, and that's what's happening.
All right, we have a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. You get to celebrate friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest. Happening now at Disneyland Resort. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game for those next.
We should discuss this stuff before we get on, before we get on the air.
Hey, can Chip hum or something for like 20 seconds just so we can discuss this? Because I think this is a key copy point, don't you?
You think people won't hear us if Chip is humming?
I'm laughing if she's humming.
I'm just
going
to go on tour.
That's a disbelief.
We're talking about...
I say we don't. What we were talking about before, I say we don't tell them.
Oh, I think we have to, don't
really?
We?
No, but we're playing.
Allie, what do you think? Well, don't tell them or do
I say you say the movie.
Okay.
And they tell you the voice actor that plays that part.
But they don't need to know the character.
Dave says no. You don't even tell them the movie?
No way, dude. These are huge movies.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. Dave's a dick.
Dave's a heart. All right.
Four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets. I apologize. A professional show would have handled that during the song.
In our defense, we tried in the last 4 seconds of that song fading.
We did. We're talking about Pixar-themed fireworks, the Pixar Play Parade with many of your favorite characters, the Paint the Night Parade, and so much more fun for the whole family. We're giving away tickets right now with a game that we call, for some reason, Who's That Pixar Person?
Who's That Pixar Person?
All right, so Pixar not only has some of the greatest movies ever made, they get the top voice talent, some of the most talented people in the world, to voice their animated characters. We're going to be playing clips from very popular Pixar movies. All you have to do is identify who that famous voice is doing a character in the film. Everybody ready to go?
Sure.
Who's first?
George in Simi Valley. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
We are doing well. How about you?
I don't know. We'll find out. Huh?
Yes, we will.
All right. Now, if Dave were nice, he would let us tell you what movie this is from, but we can't. So yeah. Listen closely and identify this famous voice from a Pixar movie.
Oh, Gusteau was right. Oh, yeah. Oh, amazing. Each flavor was totally unique, but combine one flavor with another and something new was created.
What do you think there, George?
No idea.
That's the easiest one we got, buddy.
I hope somebody's smarter than me, then.
That is the great Patton Oswalt. He, of course, was Remy in Ratatouille. Remember, he was a little rat.
Okay, well.
All right.
What are you going to rub it in? Take it easy.
Keep yelling at him.
Yeah, what are you yelling at him? The guy didn't get it.
George, everybody knows that. What's wrong with you?
How many times have you seen Ratatouille?
I mean, technically not, but look.
Okay.
Even I recognize Patton Oswalt.
Any of these movies, how many times?
Who's our next contestant, Kevin?
Is it Rova in West Hills?
Roya, I think, right?
Is it Roya?
Yes.
Okay. All right, listen up. What famous Pixar person is this?
Morning, sleeping beauty. Boy, I was wondering when you was going to wake up. Here, buddy. I like you already. My name's Mater.
Mater?
Yeah, like Tomater, but without the tuh.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that movie. All right, what do you think there, Roya?
I think it's good. The guy.
Yes, guy's in the name. Yes, good so far.
Okay, let me think. The guy that's always like in those like redneck movies.
Yes,
that's him. Yes,
right. But he's got a name, and his name is.
He wears like that, like baseball hat, and
don't need the clothing, right? If he had a name, someone would call him.
Let me think. I don't know. Man.
It's Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry. Oh, man, yeah. I knew it was that
You
too.
Didn't know. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Well, we're 0 for 2.
All right. Let's try again.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Gila.
Gila.
She just said Gila. What did you think you heard?
What I repeated is what I heard.
Now, Gila, you were listening to your previous competitors. Did you get Patton Oswalt or Larry the Cable Guy while you were on hold?
I got them both.
Oh, good.
Oh, now it's on.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel good about you, and I feel good about listening up for this Pixar person.
I'd call it the Happy Core Memory Development Program. Hey, our life was perfect until Mom and Dad decided to move to San Fran Stinktown. Need I remind you of how great things were there? Our room, our backyard, our friends.
All right, who's that?
I want to say it's Inside Out.
You are correct, yes.
Okay, and I want to say it's Bill Hader.
No!
Sorry. It's...
Would it help if I said I was in a movie called Unaccompanied Minors with him?
Nope.
Didn't
I don't think,
so.
That helps anybody. He was playing the voice of anger in Inside Out, and it's our friend comedian Lewis Black. Sorry.
Sorry.
Hey, guys.
How's this going?
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Sudden death, you guys.
Sudden death.
Sudden death. All right, no drawing.
First person that gets it wins. All right, let's go to John in Valencia. Hi, John. Hello, John. He's gone.
He tapped out.
All right. Let's go to Anthony in La Mirada. Hi.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Morning.
Anthony, what do you think? You've been listening to the game? It's not going well.
I got Lewis Black.
You did? Okay. Oh. All right. Well, this one's, I think, a little tougher, but let's see if you know. It's a great movie, great actor. Listen up for your Pixar person.
You miss your dad, don't you, Shuckmate?
Yeah.
You're lucky to have someone out there who's looking for you.
He's not looking for me.
My first escape landed on dental tools. I was aiming for the toilet.
Toilet?
All drains lead to the ocean, kid.
Oh, I know that guy.
Okay, good.
Okay,
good
you
start.
I will tell you this. You do know him. And his name is?
Man. Oh, his name is... it's not Tim Allen, is it?
You're correct. It's not Tim Allen. It is Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe playing Gil in Finding Nemo, but thank you for playing anyway.
They'll get the next one.
You think?
100%.
All right. Carola? Carola?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Please get this one because we'd like to have a winner. Here we go.
Ha! You're alive! This is great! Oh! I'm saved! Andy will find you here. He'll take us back to the room, and then you can tell everyone that this was all just a big mistake. Huh? Right, buddy?
All right. That one you got to get.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Oh, wow.
All right. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but maybe the most famous character in the entire Pixar universe. Am I right about that, guys?
Maybe.
There.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my God.
One of the most famous people in the world doing the voice.
Can you give it to me again?
Nope.
It's Mother effing Tom Hanks. It's Tom Hanks.
Woody from Toy Story.
They're going to get the next one.
The next one they're going
to
get.
Woody from Toy Story.
Yelling. You already didn't win. What do you want?
Do you just skip ahead to number 7? Because there's no way they don't get number 7.
No, we do this.
Okay.
I think we do that. I think Alex gets it.
Okay.
Alex is going to save the game. Hey, Alex.
Okay.
Hi, guys. Hopefully I'll get it.
I hope so, too. This is Sudden Death for a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets for the Pixar Fest. Listen up. Name this Pixar person.
Honey, where's my super suit? Where is my super suit? The public is in danger. You tell me what my suit is, woman. We are talking about the greater good.
Don't make me yell at you.
Oh, my God. I was just talking to my husband, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yay! USA! 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 Oh, thank God. Thanks for playing the game.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
I don't know why we made it our mission when we came in this morning to fill up all of your winter evenings, but we already gave away Nine Inch Nails for December tickets.
Right.
Now we've got Chris D'Elia doing his Follow the Leader tour at the Wiltern the night after Thanksgiving. We got those tickets for you to see Chris D'Elia on November the 23rd, you guys.
Oh, busy.
If you don't have plans and you love comedy, Chris D'Elia, his Follow the Leader tour at the Wiltern, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 wins it from K-Rock. Allie, what's happening?
I've always wondered, when you say that holiday, say it again.
Thanksgiving?
You put the emphasis on the thanks.
Okay.
And I always say Thanksgiving. So I wonder what that says about us as a people.
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I think I'm more of a thanks guy.
You are,
more of
definitely.
More of a giving girl. Interesting.
Interesting.
Kevin, how do you say it?
Like everyone else, Thanksgiving.
Yeah. What I'm saying, is you say it incorrectly.
Oh, so Kevin, you're giving also. You're not a thanks, you're a giving.
Do you say Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving?
I feel like I don't say either. I just say Thanksgiving. It's they're equal.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, you got to be a contrarian, don't you?
I'm just saying I'm not wrong.
Pick a side.
Oh, okay.
Pick a side, man.
One of us
are
is right.
Are you more thankful or are you more a giver?
Both.
All right. Dave, put up a Twitter poll. We need to know immediately which is the right way to say it. Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving? Chip's probably a Thanksgiving. All right. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Oh, what's happening?
Guys, statement from the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. He does a whole statement, blah, blah, blah. But there's now a new policy.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
New policy for kneeling during the game. Yep. New policy for kneeling during... Okay.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
New policy for kneeling during the national anthem.
Okay.
There are six parts to it. Number one.
Six parts.
All team and league personnel on the field shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Number two. The game operations manual will be revised to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for the anthem. In other words, you can stay in the locker room.
Oh.
Number three, personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or in a similar location off the field until after the anthem has been performed. Number four, a club will be fined by the league if its personnel are on the field and do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Five, each club may develop its own work rules consistent with the above principles regarding its personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem.
You guys can make up your own rules as long as they're ours exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number six, the commissioner will impose appropriate discipline on league personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. I would want that number six. I would want that defined a little
bit. Maybe spelled
out
a bit.
Yeah. I want to know what the impose appropriate discipline is.
Yeah, because that could mean anything.
Yeah, could mean a fine, could mean you're out for a game, could mean anything.
And this is, to be clear, Allie, and I hate to be a conspiracy bean here, but this is just as a result of the pushback on the ratings and everything else. They don't really care about the issue at all, right? They don't care about the players and what they're actually protesting, which isn't the anthem. They don't care about any of that.
Right. Plus, they get paid for their patriotism. The NFL takes money from the military to do the different things, the flag unveiling, the we're doing Marine Night, we're honoring America's military. The NFL is paid actual dollars for that.
Right.
Dollars. The NFL is not paying the military. They are being paid
by, right,
to show patriotism.
So they need to look as patriotic as possible to keep those dollars rolling.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you think will happen? Do you think a bunch of people will stay in the locker room? I mean, there really weren't in the percentage of players in the league, most weren't taking a knee.
Right.
No. But if I was an owner of a team, I would say, you know what, guys? We're staying in the locker room. End of discussion.
Everyone.
It's not even going to be something we do anymore. We're not going out there. We'll run out after
we're
the
not even going to play.
We're not going to play.
Just go home.
Let's get back on the bus. Absolutely. To me, that's going to be the easiest thing for an owner to do is just say, let's not even make it an issue. That's going to save them a little bit.
It'll make it a huge issue.
It will be a huge issue if they go out and some do kneel and some don't.
But it'll be a huge issue if no one goes out as well.
I think it's less of an issue.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But can't people then just paint the whole team as being unpatriotic because they're not out there for the national anthem?
Sure, and you'd be an idiot, but sure, you could feel free. Here's the thing, too. Who's to say players don't adopt another sign of protest? You're saying you can't kneel. What if I hold up both my hands? That's a sign of protest.
Mm-hmm.
What if I have a gun to my head with my little finger guns? What if I do, you know, a jazz hands?
Jazz hands? Why would you do that?
I'm just saying there are other ways. This is so, it's just, I can't. First of all,
I don't know
NFL,
what you said, but I agree.
Here's what would have been really great. How about you impose regulations for your players that beat the S out of their girlfriends and their wives? How about you do something like that?
That would hurt
like
the bottom
that?
Line, though. That would hurt the bottom line.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
It's just, come on. There are such bigger things for them that they should be handling, but instead this?
But each team gets to make up their own rules.
Right.
As long as they're the same as the NFL.
Number four. Yeah, it's just, that's stuff.
Yeah.
Right there.
Roger Goodell has not impressed a lot of people a lot of the time.
He gets booed everywhere he goes.
But at least he's making a gazillion dollars a year, right?
Yeah, there's that.
That's madness.
All right, well, thanks for that that update. So that's settled.
It is settled.
Shouldn't hear about that again ever.
Don't you think the NFL Players Union gets involved and they're like, hey, hold on a minute. And then what? You're kicked out of your parents' house. You're 30. You got five letters. Wait, different story?
Different story.
Different story.
My bad. Let's move on to sad news for Muggs and Dave, because they had some really good times with this cast. The cast of L.A. to Vegas, that wonderful show on Fox where it was about a pilot who was kind of pervy and did weird things.
That was funny.
Dylan McDermott was great. It has been canceled by Fox.
Oh.
Dude, this is a new level for the Muggs. This is a mess.
Very upset.
He is taking it hard. Yeah. What, Dave? So that's upsetting. So sorry to bring you that.
Why are you bad, America?
I'm just saying. This was kind of shocking to hear. Jada Pinkett Smith revealed that she has alopecia.
Oh.
She does something called a Red Table Talk. It's her web series. And she has been wearing a lot of turbans, a lot of head wraps. And she finally said, listen, I have been losing my hair. And she said it was downright terrifying when the symptoms first began. But she's learned to cope. She's wearing the turbans, wearing the head wraps. I think it's someone like a Jada Pinkett Smith could really bring a lot of attention to.
You mean NoHo Jada?
See what you did there, because Anthony Carrigan, that plays NoHo Hank on Barry, has alopecia. I see what you
did. What do you think about bald people? I hate them.
Again, could do a lot of good.
I think that's
and
the opposite.
Bring a lot of
awareness.
Thank you, Bean.
Why do you help her and not me?
Right.
Why does that
you
happen?
You paint your bald spot?
Again.
You paint your bald spot?
No, I didn't mean again. Play it again, Sam. I meant.
I mean, you asked for it.
I did say again.
I mean, you did.
So. I did.
That's on you.
Good God. Some birthdays for you. Actress Melissa McBride. She's Carol on The Walking Dead, and we found out is Kevin's favorite character.
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
I'm going to say the most badass character on that show is Carol.
Yeah, because she will tell you to look at flowers
and then
she will blow your head off.
If need be. She does whatever needs to happen.
It's a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Singer Jewel, Drew Carey, actor H. John Benjamin, voice of Archer Bob on Bob's Burger, and Ryan Coogler, amazing director, Black Panther Creed, Fruitvale Station, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie, the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We've got Ashley Cole, the captain of the LA Galaxy. We've got Dr. Drew on the program like we do on Thursdays. We've got a brand-new internet roundup and your tickets for 9 Inch Nails.